This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية.
نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that certain aspects of life are haqq or are the truth. That certain factors that we see every single day of our life, that for example we see that the sun is round, and we see that at night the moon comes out, and the stars come out. These are realities of life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed there. Ayatul Kawniyah, universal signs for people to see and reflect and to think about, that this is a certainty. Amongst those certain aspects of life as well, is a concept of al-maut. The concept of death, which is we find that many people want to deny or stay away from. And we find that even the other forms of religion that have been sent down, even though the only form of religion in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the only deen in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Islam. But what the ulama refer to as the heavenly sent down religions which these people have changed, meaning Christianity and Judaism, that they also believe in a form of a new life, the afterlife. Strong belief these people have as well. And likewise, you find even those people are mushrikeen. For example, the Hindu system or the Brahmins, they believe. However great individual you become in this society, you will become a greater animal in the akhirah. This is their understanding, that you return once again in a disguise of an animal. That's why the cow is something sacred to these people. Even though this is something batil, falsehood, that insan is the best creation, and insan will return back into that original form and return into a Jannatul Firdaus by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are their weird concepts that they have. And in the concept of the Jews and the Christians that they have, there is some form of coming again, resurrection. And likewise, the Muslims should have a burning desire again and again. أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. That will the mujrimeen and the believers be the same? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. How do you judge? How can the fusaq, the rebellious people, and those people who are believers be the same? There has to be some form of infinite justice, and that will be in the Day of Judgment. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lay it out clear. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. To whom does the dominion belong to today? He will say to these people, and it will be said, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. Only to the one and only the irresistible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this increases the iman, that it has to be a day of accountability. And that's why we find at the beginning of al-insan, some ulama said there are 5 stages, and some write there are 4. The one that they debate about is in the beginning, whether insan, the soul, was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we'll mention the other 4, that the beginning is in the womb of the mother. Then he comes out into the dunya. Then he enters into the barzakh, and then he goes back into the akhirah. أَمَّا شَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Either in a state of happiness in bliss, happiness in bliss, or either in a state of sadness. He comes in ظُلُمَات, in a state of darkness. Comes out to the nur. Once again returns back to the ظُلُمَات, to the darkness. Then again he will come out to the light. But 2 forms of light. Either the light of the hellfire, or the light of firdaus. That is the journey of al-insan. And that's why we find that this insan which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, out of every single thing that He created, Ashraful Makhluq, the most noble creation is al-insan. Even better than the angels, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He's raised up insan above even the angels. Because simply, he has al-aql, lub, the intellect, the ability to distinguish between good and bad. That is why he raises up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised him up above even the malaika, even the angels. And likewise we find, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. First that we find, we've created man in the best form, in the best structure, that is al-insan. And likewise we find, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. That really we have created Bani Adam and given him nobility and rank, taking him over the land and over the oceans, and giving him a marked preference over the whole of creation. That is نَحْنُ Bani Adam, the children of Adam. A distinction has been given to us. However, we find that going back to the previous verse, that we have created man in the best form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states himself that in the end, insan becomes what? ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then he becomes the lowest of the low. What makes him cling to this dunya? خُلِقَ مِنْ تُرَاب. Created from the dust. Returned back to the dust. Resurrected from the dust. And how strange insan is, that he wants to eat more and more from that filthy dust. Put it inside his stomach again and again. Strange is the affair of al-insan. And that's why we find that the path of good and the path of shar, evil, is clear. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَهُ النَّجَدَيْنِ. Have we not given you 2 eyes to perceive, to see? Have we not given you 2 lips and a tongue to speak with? Clear biyan, fasaha, the ability to speak has been given to al-insan. And all likewise we've shown him the 2 paths, the path of khayr and the path of shar. Clearly visible in front of all of us. However, the majority of mankind wants to take the path of evil. This is the nobility which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all of al-insan, the ability to judge that which is right and that which is wrong. And that's why we find, unfortunately, that on a long journey, everybody will discuss every single aspect of their life. They will discuss that. But when it comes to the topic, you say to them, do you know we're going to die one day? That person will say, stop there. Don't carry on this discussion anymore. That is enough. Even though this is the greatest reality that will hit insan, but he refuses to discuss this topic, feeling shy about this topic, or not recognizing the truth about this topic, that he has to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this is known as umur al-ghaybiyyat, the unseen affairs. Whatever will happen to an insan in the barzakh, in the interspace, or inside the grave, or towards the akhirah, is all unknown. Only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole Quran begins with this message in Surah Al-Baqarah, that this is the book that there is no doubt, no discrepancy. For those people, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, who believe in the unseen. This is the teaching after Surah Al-Fatiha, that the whole this Quran, whatever it mentions about the Akhirah, it's unseen affairs, and the believer should strongly believe in that which will happen to the individual. And we want to look at our perception of al-maut. Forget about these filthy people, because this world is a paradise for these people. الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that this dunya is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. Look at them in these days of ayyam al-kufr, in these days of disbelief, how they will celebrate, commit all types of atrocities. They will do this because this is their paradise. As for the believer, all types of richness, all types of beauty, all types of wealth, all types of property, he is still bound by the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever he is. That's why the dunya is forever a sijin for the mu'min. And we want to discuss ourselves, not these people, because many of us don't seem to comprehend the understanding of al-maut, because we are suffering from at the moment al-wahan, hubbu dunya wa karahatu al-maut, a love of this world and a hatred for death. Look through the whole of the Muslim empire, that's all that you find at the moment. Buildings after buildings being resurrected, challenging each other for what? One person doesn't like the building, he will demolish it and build another building. This is all hubbu dunya, a love for the dunya and a hatred for death, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated. And that's how we find the mention of death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every single soul should taste death. It occurs three times inside the Quran, and inshallah we'll analyze these three positions in the Quran. Likewise, we find wama tadri nafsum madha taksibu ghada. No soul will know what it will earn tomorrow. Wama tadri nafsum bi ayyi ardin tamut. And no soul knows where it will die. This is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unseen. No soul knows what it will earn tomorrow, and no soul knows where it will be taken, lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, they find kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Every single thing on this land will perish, will come to an end. Wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram, except for the noble, glorious face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, they find other words like haq, the truth, musibah, calamity, all forms of death. And likewise, they find alhaakum muttakathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. The rivalry of this dunya takes you away, hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves. This is a form of kinaya, a form of speech in the Arabic language, until you return back to the graves, meaning until death comes upon you. Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Worship your Lord until death comes upon you. That is the meaning of yaqeen in this verse towards the end of Surah Al-Hijr. Continuously worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you are lifted up by Him. That is what it means by certainty. Not as the people of Sufiya, who believe that you reach a maqam, a position that you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sharia is abandoned from you. This is the correct interpretation of this verse. You carry on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death comes upon that individual. The first time that we find, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَاعِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَا أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Verily, you will be given your full recompense on the Day of Judgment. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Whoever is saved from the hellfire, that is supreme success. That is the true success on that day. Is saved from the hellfire and thrown into paradise. فَقَدْ فَازَ. That individual is a successful one. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. And the whole of this dunya is one great big deception, as described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمْ وَلَعِبٌ. What is this dunya except for play and amusement? وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَحِيَ الْحَيَوَانَ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And a final abode, the final resting place, that is the real home of the believer. That is the real home of the believer. And that's why we find in اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. Know for a fact that this dunya is only play and amusement. وَزِينَ and beautification. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ and mutual boasting amongst yourself. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ in the collection of wealth and children. That is all that is dunya is in front of the masses of mankind. And likewise we find إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ that the majority of mankind are forever going towards a state of loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That is the criteria in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just mere iman, just to state that you believe. قَالُوا آمَنَّا to believe. But rather actions. That is a part and parcel, as Ahlul Sunnah described, of iman. That actions, they increase your iman. And obedience, you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with through the actions. And likewise, you decrease in your actions, and you commit ma'asiyah, disobedience, you go further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find that the distractions that we find, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ. fear the dunya, and fear the fitna and temptations of women. These are the things that are taking the masses of the people away from the concentration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's not the dunya, then it's the women around them, which is clear fitna. For the first fitna that hit Bani Israel, كانت في النساء, wasn't regarding the women. This same hadith falls true today, that these same people are using the media, all the campaigning, the use of a woman to take the youth away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find that the Muslim forever bears in mind, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُودَ مَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِنْهَا شَرْبَةً مَا. If this world was worth a wing of a mosquito in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would not have given a drink of water to an infidel, to a kafir. If it was worth something, He would have given, not even given water to these people. And likewise, we find in a famous hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that walking through the marketplace, saw a dead carcass, dead animal lying there. And he said to his companions, who want this? And his ears had been slit. Who wants it for one dinar? For one coin? They said, verily, even if you used to give it to us free, we would not take it. Because verily, it's deficient. Its ears have been slit. There's some deficiency in this animal. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, O kama qal, that verily the dunya is more worthless in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this carcass is to you. There's no value to this dunya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala inna dunya mal'una. ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وما والا أو عالما أو متعلما. The whole of this dunya is cursed, and cursed whatever is inside this dunya. إلا ذكر الله, except for the remembrance of Allah and that which is linked to the remembrance of Allah. أو عالما أو متعلما, the one who is a scholar or the one who is teaching or the one who is learning. That is what all of us should aspire to be. Apart from the rest of this dunya is cursed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, you find Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, treat this dunya like you treat the lavatory. You only go inside there for haja, to clear your body. That is the only reason why you enter inside it, then you leave it. No person builds his home inside the lavatory. That is the way of the believer. And simply the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiri sabil. Be in this dunya as if you are a traveler or a wayfarer, stranger, ghuraba. That's what we are in this dunya. Likewise, in another hadith that we find, that what is my example? Mali wa mali dunya. What is me, my example to this dunya? Except I am a raqib. I am a traveler who sits underneath the tree. And then I get up and I walk away. This was the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A few things that he had, he kept with him. But yet we find that we continuously pile up this dunya. The lavish things that we have in our homes and everything around us, forever thinking that we need all of these things. That is all against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second time that we find kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut in Surah Al-Anbiya, that we find, then we find wa nabluukum bisharri wal khairi fitna wa ilayna turja'un. Then we make a trial for you for the good and the bad, and then you'll return back to us once again. And the third time we find this verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut thumma ilayna turja'un. Then once again you'll return back to us. Every single calamity, everything that happens to an individual, فَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Any calamity, loss of fruit, of wealth, of property, anything that you own, this is the way of the mu'min, the believer, to say to Allah we belong, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will return. And that's why we find that those people who deny death, that some of us, we begin to deny the concept of death. وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرُ. What is this life except for we live and we die? وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرُ. The only thing that will kill us is the passing of time. Ad-dahriyun, the people who believe in time. It is only a passing of time that comes by and takes our life away. There is no real concept. Everything just comes and goes, like a Big Bang theory. Nothing really exists. This is those people who have this concept of al-maut. And likewise we find that nothing has been created in vain. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We do not create the heavens and the earth in vain, in play. It is not a mere jest, the creation of the heavens and the earth. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. We do not create the heavens and the earth in vain. That is the belief and the conjecture of those people who disbelieve. That is what these people think, that the heavens and the earth have been created in vain. As for the believer, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. That is the way of the people who think, who see the alternation of the night and the day, the sun and the moon. They see all of this, standing and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bowing down and even lying down on their sides. And what do they say? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You have not created this in vain. It's impossible to say it's been created in vain. That is the people who think and reflect. And then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses Al-Insan himself. So if the heavens and the earth have not been created in vain, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْأَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Do you think, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think we created you in vain, in jest, no purpose? So the heavens and the earth serve a purpose. And likewise, insan serves a purpose. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Creation of the jinn and the insan has been to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for ubudiyya, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those people who think that He cannot recreate, many people think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot recreate creation once again. Once even insan, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَعْلَى. To Allah belongs the greatest similitude. Insan, after creating something, can return and recreate the same thing again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something, بَيْنَ الْكَافِ وَنُونَ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Between the command of be and it is. Create something out of nothing. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why He states to Al-Insan, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ. Does insan not see that he's been created from nutfa? In another place in the Quran, created from filthy semen. Filthy water is being created. Insan has been created from that. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُّبِينٌ. And he begins to be a clear opponent towards us. Debate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. And he brings forth a parable to us. And he forgets his own creation. Forgets the essence of himself. That he is from this filthy water. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيَ الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Who is going to bring these bones back to life when they are dust. Who is going to do that? Is he challenged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Say, indeed, He will bring them back to life who brought it life in the first place. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He can do that without any difficulty upon Him. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. And He has the power and the ability and has the knowledge over the whole of creation. Likewise, we find, when a person walked past the dead city, the forbidden city, destroyed city, قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to bring this back to life? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him for 100 years, then brought him back to life again to show him this is the way. And likewise, in the same surah, Ibrahim alayhi salam had the same dire to see. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you give life to the deaf? أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. قَالَ بَلَى وَلَاقِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Don't you believe I can give life and death? But I want my heart to be satisfied. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to take 4 birds. And then Mufassirun have explained this verse, that he trained 4 birds, gave them names, and then he slaughtered them, and mixed up their feathers and their flesh, etc., and placed them in 4 separate mountains. And then he called them, and they all came to him. That was a hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show him, this is the way, no matter where you are, we can bring you back to life once again. As for those people who want to run away from death, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say, the death that you are trying to run away from, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. For verily it will meet you one day. It will come up to you one day. ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then he will inform you the know of the seen and the unseen, of that what you used to do. Likewise, we find that some people believe that paradise is specifically for them. Like the people, شَعْبُ اللَّهِ مُخْتَارِ. These wretched people, الْيَعُودْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who believe that they are the chosen people, they are the children of God. That paradise is specific for them. That many Muslims walk around with this label as well. That paradise is only for them. The same verse goes to these people as well. قُلْ إِن كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِّن دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you believe that paradise is specifically for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it for you and given it to you, then aspire to taste death. Aspire to taste death. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And these people never aspire to taste death, because they are ظَالِمِينَ. They are the transgressing people. These people never aspire to taste death, because they know they are not befitting to enter into the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And really when the ajal comes, the appointed time comes, there'll be no delaying and no bringing it forward, the time of the ajal, the time of the death that will come upon that individual. And likewise we find that those people who want to hide inside their mansions and their palaces, that they build them and they think that these things can fortify them. Once again the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you are, death will come upon you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Even if you be inside your fortified palaces. There's a message that goes to these people, to the hukam at the moment, who think that death is free. They are free from death, free from accountability. They don't need to answer to anyone. But this verse applies to them specifically, that wherever you are, death will come to you, even if you be inside your fortified palaces and mansions. And every single person has an angel assigned to them. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُقِّلَ بِكُمْ. Every single individual has an angel placed with the authority to lift up that individual's soul and take them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for some of us, our property and our children have distracted us from maut. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Don't let your children and your wealth become a distraction from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again, Mufassirun mention, ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ بِمَعْنَى الصَّلَاةِ, takes you away from the prayer. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And those people are the losers. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Spend in the way of Allah before death comes upon you. And then what does that individual state then? فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. If only you give me some respite, so I may go back and spend charity. At that stage it's too late to say, now send me back. Likewise, you find another place inside the Qur'an, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْ. He'll say, when death comes upon that individual, send me back. Send me back to do some good actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states to him, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Nay, these are only empty words, baseless words that he's saying now. Verily, there's a barzakh that is placed in front of him. There's no going back for this individual. Mere words, they don't mean anything now in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that individual to say, send me back now. And likewise, you find some of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ حَادِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Remember the destroyer of pleasures. Even the halal things that we face, the food, the clothing, the wealth, our spouses, our children, everything, these are the halal things. But still remember death. Because death is the terminator of pleasures. Likewise, you find another hadith, I forbade you from visiting the graves, but verily indeed visit the graves, because verily it reminds you of the akhirah. Ibn Umar made this famous statement. He said that in the evening don't expect to make it to the evening. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. Take from your health before you fall sick. وَخُذْ مِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Or take from your life before death comes upon you. This is the way that the Salaf, they understood their life. They never aspired to make it to the end of the day. They never aspired to make it to the end of the day. And in the evening, never aspired to make it to the following day. But they always took from their health and they took from their life before death came upon them. As for what will happen to the individual after death. What will happen to the individual when they are lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we find that there is no repentance when the soul is about to be taken out of the throat. Just when it's about to be lifted, there's no repentance left for that individual. And that's what we find inside the Qur'an, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. That when death comes to your throat, it's been taken out of your throat. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ عِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. At that stage you are looking. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And we are closer to you, closer to that individual than you are. But you cannot perceive us and you cannot see us. فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ. If you think you are free from accountability, تَرَجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then return that soul back if you are truthful. That once that time comes, there is no going back. Likewise we find, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتُ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ. Verily the stupor, the taking of death, the quick taking of death will come, the amazement of death, the startlement of death will come upon you. That is what you is trying to stay away from. Will come upon every single individual. And the greatest hadith, which talks about what will happen to an individual after death comes to them, is the hadith of Bara ibn Azib. In this long hadith that we find, that an individual, when the believer leaves this world, and angels with faces as white as the sun, carrying shrouds of paradise, and the perfume of paradise is placed upon these shrouds, will come to this good soul and say, good soul, come out to forgiveness and acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the soul comes out like a drop of water is taken out of a water skin. If you squash the water skin, the water just seems to flow out easily. That is the way a good soul will come out. The nafsun tayyiba, a good soul will come out in that manner. And then it will be taken up. And it will be said, who is this good soul? And by every single good name in this dunya, that soul will be mentioned. Continuously being lifted up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lifted all the way through the heavens, up to the seventh heaven. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, record the book of my servant in Illiyun, in the highest record, and take him back to the earth. For verily I created him from the earth, and he shall return to it, and from it I shall bring him out once again. And then it will be said to him, who is your Lord? And he'll be given the tawfiq and ability to say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is your deen? What is your religion? Who is this man that was sent to you? And what is your source of knowledge? And that person who lived according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya will be given that ability. Given that tathbeet, that establishment to say the correct answers. And likewise you find that a man with a beautiful face will come to him with a good smell. And you say, who are you? He will say, I am your good deeds. I am your good deeds. My Lord, bring Aqimis Sa'ah, bring the last hour. My Lord, bring the last hour so that I may return to my people and my property. And another hadith will be stated, sleep like the newlywed bride. Sleep in this manner. No worries at all for that individual. As for the individual who is the fajir, the fasiq, the kafir, that individual is infidel, a rebellious person, then angels with black faces will come down upon that individual. And he will say, oh wicked soul, come out to Allah's displeasure and anger. And they will be carrying sacks, evil black sacks, with a foul stench. And they will rip out this person's soul. And the example given in the hadith is like how a hot fork is put in cotton wool and taken out. That if you place a hot fork inside a soft substance, it will stick to the fork. And this is the way the evil soul will be ripped out. Screaming and shouting, the veins will be ripped out, the soul will be ripped out through the veins. And everything can hear the screaming of that individual. And a foul stench will come from this individual's soul. And it will be taken up. And it will say, oh wicked soul, every single wicked name in this dunya that that person was called by will be called as it's traveling up. And the doors of paradise will not open. Will only go to the lowest heaven and that is it. And you find, لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ. That the doors of paradise will be sealed for that individual. And they will never ever enter into paradise until the camel goes through the eye of the needle, which is impossible. That is what will happen to this individual. And then it will be said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, record his record in Sijjin, in the lowest record, and then it will be thrown down from the heavens down to the lowest earth. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّيْهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ تَخْتَفَهُ الطَّيْرِ أَوْ تَحْوِي بِهِ رِيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. That what the example of this individual is as a bird has thrown him down from the heavens. Or the wind snatches him away, takes him away to a faraway place. This is the example of shirk billahi azza wa jal. Shirk does not bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Takes you far away from him. Takes you far away. That is a similitude given in this verse. And then it will be thrown down to this dunya. Then it will be said to him, who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who is this man that was sent to you? And he will say, la adri, la adri. A form in the Arabic language, I don't know. It will say, kathabd, you have lied. Because he will know everything. This is the only exam that every single person in this dunya has the answer. But they won't be able to say it on that day. No one cannot say it except by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, yeah, he has lied. Spread out the carpets for hell for him and open a gate of hell for him. And it will say that some of the hot air comes inside there. And the grave is made narrow and his ribs will begin to interlace. This is the punishment that will be given to this individual. And a man with an ugly face and ugly garments will come in front of him with an offensive smell. And he said, be grieved with what displeases you, for this is your day which you have promised. He said, who are you? He said, I am your wicked deeds. My Lord, do not bring the last hour. My Lord, do not bring the last hour. And that's why we find Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he mentions that the place of the grave, and even before that, Uthman ibn Affan, if you are successful inside the grave, everything will be successful for you. And many of the Salaf, you read the seerah, it may sound amazing, but they would dig graves and lie inside there to remind themselves that this is where we have to return one day. We don't have this journeys to the graveyard to remember that one day we have to go back there one day to reflect upon this return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he mentions the link between qabr and qalb. Is the verse inside the Quran, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. The link between the qabr and the qalb. The qalb is the place which hides all of your hidden secrets. Nobody knows it except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise the qabr, nobody knows what happens inside the grave إلا الله عز وجل, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both are concealed confinements. What is inside the heart and what is inside the grave. That's why these philosophers, they believed that there must be some movement inside the grave. So they took some mercury and they placed it inside the grave. Because mercury moves at great speed, or anything makes mercury move. They placed it there, hoping to see that when they dig up the grave, the mercury will move and we'll see that some effects of Azab al-Qabr. How foolish these people are. They think that they can judge everything by their rationale, by philosophy. This is barzakh, this is the interspace, that nobody knows what will happen except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge from the punishment of the grave. That is, people who deny this concept, that is rationalistic attribute that we find, the way of the Mu'tazila, that is young people who believe that there's no Azab al-Qabr. This is incorrect belief. Is against the way of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah to believe that the punishment of the grave does not exist. Why did the Prophet Muhammad pray in every single prayer when a Jewish woman came to Aisha radiallahu anha and told her to seek refuge from the punishment of the grave? And she asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said she has spoken the truth, that the punishment of the grave is real. And she narrates that after that statement, he forever would seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. Every time he prayed. This is the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even small things, and namima, spreading gossiping, lying, spreading rumors about people, and those people do not wash themselves after going to the lavatory, opens up the doors of the punishment of the grave for the individual. How many people, young people, don't pay attention to this? Don't cleanse themselves properly. You've opened up the doors of the punishment of the grave upon yourself. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he writes that every single aspect can hear the punishment of the grave. And that's why he writes that in Dimashq, in Syria, when the animals were suffering from the pains inside the stomach, or they had some problems, they would take the animals to the graveyard of Dimashq, place the animals there. And when they would hear the punch of the grave, they would have convulsions inside their stomach. They move in the stomach and everything would drop, and animals would feel better. That they could hear the punishment that was going on inside the grave. It's something that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote in one of his works. And there are many proofs inside the Qur'an about the punishment of the grave. النَّارُ يُعْرَدُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُضُوًا وَعَشِيًّا. That the fire is exposed to them day and night. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ شَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. And when the punishment comes, enter Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun, into a more severe punishment. Amongst the proofs of the punishment of the grave, that these people are being exposed to the hell and fire day in and day out. And when the day of judgment comes, they will be told to enter into the forever punishment, the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find that the na'im of the grave has been mentioned inside the Qur'an as well. قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. If he said to an individual, enter into paradise. He's entering into paradise inside the grave. That he's having his na'im. The bliss has been given to this individual inside that location. And the only people who are saved from the punishment of the grave, those people who read Surah Al-Mulk every single night, the 67th chapter of the Qur'an. But the greatest form and the greatest contention at the moment on this dunya, if you want to save yourself from the punishment of the grave, سِتَّةُ خَسَالْ لِلشَّهِيدِ. Six benefits, six characteristics are given to the shaheed before even the blood touches the ground. And one of them is the saving from the punishment of the grave. If that is the way you would be saved from punishment of the grave, is to die as a shaheed. And that's how you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this verse, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Don't consider those people who die in his path as dead. Don't call these people dead people. There's no such thing as calling them dead. These people, بَلْ أَحْيَانُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are alive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being provided provision by Him. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Rejoicing with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. Something we can't seem to comprehend, that what is pushing these people to do these actions. And if you read the tafsir of this verse, the souls of the mujahideen are placed inside green birds. And the birds walk around or fly around the whole of paradise. And then they return underneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enter into that cage. Only for the shuhada. This is given to these people. And then the Prophet Muhammad stated himself, there's only one thing I would like to return back to this dunya. Is that I'm killed, then I return again. Then I made shaheed again, then I return again. Made shaheed again, then return again. 3 times he mentioned this. That's the only reason why he wants to come back to this dunya. And the only reason why the shaheed will come back to this dunya is to face that great feeling of dying as a shaheed. Which most of us become cowardly. Cowardly to discuss this, cowardly to even engage in such matters. Because on top of that, the Muslim ummah is forever calling it irhab, calling it terrorism, calling it that this is futile. Futile warfare. You don't have the numbers. You don't have the weaponry. You don't have anything. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. At that day of Yawm al-Badr, who threw? You did not throw. But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that threw that dust that went into their eyes. What was their number on that day? 313, facing a force. Today is the same thing. But we have become like the froth, the scum of the ocean. That there is only qaleel. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Only a few grateful servants who can stand up and defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the greatest way to protect yourself from the punishment of the grave. And finally, we need to reflect upon الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاءَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He's the one that created life and death to see which of you is best in action. Not أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا, the most in action, but the best in action. The most precision in action. Ikhlas, and upon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's how we find all of us should aspire to die upon good actions. All of us should aspire, standing in a salah, in qiyam, in ruku, in sujood, reading the Quran, performing tawaf, making hajj. That is the way a person should aspire, or even the greatest form as we mentioned previously. But if not that, at least aspire to die in a good manner. Because verily the way that you die is the way that you'll be resurrected. People who die in an evil state, shurbul khamr, drinking alcohol, in a state of fornication, they'll be resurrected and exposed in front of the rest of humanity in the day of judgment. This is the way that they have died. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us to be exposed in the day of judgment in this evil manner. And likewise, if not in that manner, at least to die in a peaceful manner. At a state of sleep, if you don't have the courage to go out and die in that noble cause, then pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of our weakness, then take us in a state of sleep, that we don't taste the hardships of death, that we are lifted up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how all of us want to fall into that verse. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. O soul at rest, return back to the paradise. Return back amongst my servants. Enter into my paradise. The soul which is at rest. And that soul is at rest by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah is the one that will give thabat in this dunya and the akhirah. That is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq and the ability to understand the truth about death and strive to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our challenge towards running towards Him, to get closer and closer to Him and protect us from the punishment of the grave and the rest of the calamities that we're facing at the moment. وَجَزَاكُمُ Allah Rahman Rahim. I mean, obviously you need to take your precautions and not be silly, that a person should take any akhdul asbab, take everything, facilities that have been given to him, and not be a foolish individual and make any maybe a type of khuruj fi sabilillah, and you leave your family in a state of poverty, in a state of need, and just go out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, the person should provide provision even from the provision of Hajj as well, that you should be leaving sufficient wealth for your family before you travel, and it should be a state or a form of ease when they leave. So likewise, the dunya, you should take whatever is sufficient for you, and all of us know what is excessive. Any forms of excessive seeking of the dunya, is any person should stay away from that. If a person has 2 pairs, 3 pairs of shoes, they're sufficient. Some people have 10, maybe 15, all types of imported trainers, etc., that they have from all over the dunya. So there's obviously something excessive. A person should try to stick to the minimal amount, and that is zuhud, that is abstinence, and something which is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some sunnah as well that we find, to wear tattered clothes is from iman. A sign of iman is to wear this type of clothing. That doesn't mean you intentionally. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the blessings of Allah upon you, you should enumerate those blessings and show them. That is not kibr, that is not being arrogant or being boastful. Yani al-kibr, batalu al-haq wa ghamtu an-nas. Pride is to reject the truth and to look despised and look down upon people. So to wear good shoes and to wear good clothing is something acceptable. But to be excessive is where we have to draw the balance where a person should not be excessive of this dunya and seek excessive nature of this dunya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
You mentioned that the people of paradise will be raised to heaven upon death and be called by the best of names as he enters heaven. Can you please give examples?
Any good names, if a person mentioned you with some good names, that you had a good character, good behavior, a good individual, then many people are called by good names in this dunya, maybe in front of them or behind their backs. And those are examples of some good names which have been mentioned about that person. Maybe the person may have been imam or hafid, etc., of that nature, or the person had good character, good behavior, treating their parents well, etc., has been known as such names. So that person, wallahu alam, will be mentioned by such good names that were mentioned inside this dunya. And likewise, those people have the evil names, meaning that behind their backs people call them wretched things. And those names will be enumerated upon them. They may think that they are a good person in society, but people see them as something wretched. And likewise, the angel will be calling that individual a wretched soul. And this is, yani, just my understanding, wallahu alam, as for the correct names that will be mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
When will we know whether we are destined for paradise or hellfire? Is it at the point of death or on the day of judgment? If we are, received with goodness in the grave, does this mean that we are destined for paradise?
Naam, wallahu alam, the general statement is that your qiyamah, your day of judgment begins when you enter into the grave, because you find that whatever follows it will be like the blinking of an eye. Everything that comes after it will be like a blinking of an eye, as if you only just slept recently. So basically, if there's been goodness for you given inside the grave, then you know that whatever will come after that will be khair and goodness for you. Wallahu alam.
If you know you are going to die, for example, you have cancer and you have a few months to live, will your repentance be accepted during this time, or is it too late?
Yeah, obviously nobody knows when they're going to die. Many people have suffered from cancer and then they've been saved from the cancer. Wallahu alam. And likewise, as long as your soul has not come to your throat, then tawbah is open for you. And this could be a form of blessing for that individual, that you've been given ample time to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're lifted in this manner.
What are the five benefits of shahada, being shaheed? Please
speak well to Allah. Any of the other aspects, far as my memory serves me correct, any of the person, any before the blood touches the ground, that all their sins will be forgiven, there'll be no punishment of the grave, there'll be a crown that we placed upon their head. Likewise, that we find they'll be married to 70 women, or the two women of paradise will be given to them. These are some of the benefits that come to my mind at this stage. Wallahu alam, maybe the brother can elaborate as well, inshallah.
What is the state of a person who did good and bad in the dunya? Will they be able to answer the questions in the grave, or is it only the two extremes? What is their purification?
Allahu ahkamul hakimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will judge. Simple. No man can judge another individual, as we've become at the moment to label and to judge people. It only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person could be a sinner, have some good actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something of their good actions. We find many a hadith, the woman who's a baghiyah, a prostitute woman who's been forgiven. Likewise, the man who gave water to the dog, etc. All of this has been highlighted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will judge individuals. Nobody knows what is inside a man's heart or a woman's heart, and he can forgive whoever he wants to forgive, and no one can step into that and question that forgiveness. But that is iman in the Ahlul Sunnah. To have khawf, to have fear that the individual may be punished. To have fear you may be punished, and hope that you'll be forgiven, and have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the correct belief of iman. Not just to go upon love. That is the way of these people, the deviant people like the Christians, etc., who believe everything. Zindiq, who believe that everything is based upon love, and the Christians as well. As long as you love Isa, that is sufficient, you go to paradise. And then the Ahlul Tasawwuf, who believe to fear Allah, everything you do should be a state of fear. That is the way they understand what iman is. But the real understanding of iman is to have love and hope and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love Him for the things that He has given us, to have hope in Him that He will forgive us, and have fear that He may punish at the same time. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that He verily His mercy has overtaken His wrath. That His mercy has overtaken His wrath. So a person should be looking forward to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we find in the hadith that I am in the thought, I am as a servant thinks about me. So if everybody has that belief that I will be forgiven, and holds that inside their heart and thinks about that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah, forgive that individual. As for to go into fine detail, who will be forgiven, who will not be forgiven, if you have a mixture of good deeds and bad deeds, then you should hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you and wipe out those bad deeds. And likewise you find that the good deeds increase in good deeds, for really they wipe out the bad deeds. That is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you think of a good hasana, a good deed, it is written down as if you've done that good deed. If you carry out that good deed, it's fold, manifold many times. And you think of an evil deed and you don't do it, you get one hasana, one good deed. And you do the sin, and you carry out the sin, only one sayyi'ah is written down upon you. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though you may think that you are in a balance, you've got as many bad deeds as good deeds, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, you've got many good deeds. More good deeds than the bad deeds.
How would a sister reach the level of martyrdom such as that of a man, a soldier?
Na'am, her jihad, yani is in the performance of hajj. In a woman, that's her form of jihad. To give childbirth, if she dies in a state of childbirth, she is a shahida, she is a martyr, inshaAllah. Likewise, if a building falls upon an individual, is a form of shaheed. If a person dies from a stomach disease, is a type of shaheed. Likewise, a person who drowns, etc. But the ultimate form for a man is to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's always referred to as qital, fighting, not jihad. Some people try to understand it, because jihad can be translated as struggle. But the real meaning is qital, to fight. As for a woman, her jihad is to perform the hajj, and she lived in that state. That is the way that she is a shaheed, inshaAllah.
Will there be a paradise for all Muslims after being punished for their sins?
Every Muslim who says the shahada will go to paradise. And the key to paradise is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But as Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned, that every single key has teeth. Every single key has teeth to open the doors to paradise. So don't just rely just upon the shahada. Likewise, you find in the hadith as well, that when the Prophet Muhammad said that everybody who comes into this garden, whoever comes, give them the gladdings of paradise. And then when Umar heard this statement, he pushed Abu Hurairah and he fell down on his back. He said, how can you just go and say this to an individual? Whoever says La ilallah, dakhal al-jannah. Whoever says these words would go into paradise. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad, and Abu Hurairah had tears in his eyes. Had tears in his eyes that this is what Umar done to me. Did you say these words? That whoever says La ilallah, dakhal al-jannah, will enter into paradise? He said, yes, I did. He said, don't let the people rely just upon this. Don't just go and spread this, because it will become very easy for people to accept this, which has become common in society. You say La ilaha illallah, you're going to go to paradise. It is true, but you need to come with actions as well. When you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least you try to do something. The one who comes with some actions and the correct belief and stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show, at least I try to do something in this dunya. That's why a person, you try utmost in this dunya to excel inside actions, what they can do, and not rely upon this. Because this is a concept of the Christians, that iman is just to call upon the name of Isa. Likewise, the Muslims that we find, call upon the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you go into paradise, shafa'a will become open for you. This is only the belief of Nasara, the belief of the Christians, which has spread and come into the belief of the Muslims. Just say his name and you'll enter into paradise is an incorrect belief, and a person should be far away from that, but rather making ittiba', making imitation or following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In these various ranks of the people who have the right to do intercession, all of them by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the martyrs will have a right, and likewise we find the anbiya will have a right as well, and they will carry on going down in various stages until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will himself choose certain people and put them into paradise as well.
What are the 6 points or ways in which to avoid the punishment of the grave?
Anyway, Allah, I don't know if there's such thing as 6 points. There may be more than those points to avoid the punishment of the grave. Allah knows best.
If a person dies in Hajj, for instance, as soon as they've done the Hajj rituals, does that mean that all their sins will forgive them?
Anyway, the person who performs Hajj and dies in that state, then obviously they are like the day their mother gave birth to them. They have a clean slate, they are free from their sins. So as soon as they perform the Hajj, and if they are lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are free. If their intention was correct, all their sins will be wiped away and they will be lifted up in this pure state by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, as I understand this question, the brother, sister's asking about, fight those people who don't believe in Allah and the last day, came after the struggle 13 years after the da'wah and hardship, how can we implement this today? And at the end of the day, we have to understand that jihad is in various forms. And some of them have written at the moment that current state of warfare is a state of defense of just the Muslim lands. Because at the moment, these people are attacking the noble lands and taking the property which belongs to the Muslims. And somebody needs to stand there and defend that. this forever stagnation of people, of their fiqh and their understanding, to think that we have to, for example, if somebody entered this building at the moment, I'm sure this building was bombarded by Christians at the moment. Those who would run will be classified as the munafiqeen. Those who stood there and defended the masjid would begin to defend the masjid. No one would turn around and say, let us travel to the ulama and ask them what we should do now. You're being attacked now. Yeah, your intellect will tell you, simple, your family is being attacked, the people in this community is being attacked, you have to revolt against them or defend them. That is all that we are saying. We are not saying go out to these people and harm these individuals. That which belongs to the Muslims, belongs to the Muslims. The land of Iraq, the land of Kashmir, the land of Palestine, the land of Shishan, all these lands belong to the Muslims. There's no debate about this. Even according to their sanctions, according to the United Nations, the land belongs to those people. And that's all these people are trying to do, claim back their land. They're not committing any atrocities, the land belongs to them. And finally, the land belongs, the whole of the land, earth belongs to Allah. إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The whole of the land only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whoever He wants from amongst His slaves. So that's all that these people are trying to do. You say, leave our noble land, stay away from our country, and don't oppress any of our people. As for the other forms of jihad, then when the time comes, then we can engage in that.